principal protecting natural resources. We have Janet Longfield from Sustain. She's the coordinator of Sustain.
Ooh, I think I want to sit in the big comfy chair. And as you can see, I'm in denial. I'm still pretending that it's summer. Sun shining.
Keep the denial then.
Absolutely. So, probably most of you won't know Sustain because it's not a development organisation. And if your interest is piqued and you go to the website, sustainweb.org, shameless plug, and you put in food sovereignty, it won't come up. So you think, what's she doing here then? We do stuff that helps improve food sovereignty, we just don't call it that. So I'm just going to give you three examples, one of which is a bit of a cheat because we're not really doing it. But our members are. We're an alliance for better food and farming. And some of our member organisations are in the audience. Garden Organic is a member, Friends of the Earth is a member, and about 90-something other organisations. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is planning. You're thinking, woohoo, how exciting. The second thing I'm going to talk about is urban growing, which sounds a bit more exciting. And the third thing I'm going to talk about is diets, which you might think is a bit odd, but I'll get to that. So, planning. Bit of audience participation, hands in the air. If you know about, and have even put in a submission to, the National Planning Policy Framework Consultation. Oh, shame on you. You all should have done it. What the people in this building have done, well, the government bit of this building anyway, the National Planning Policy Framework has redefined sustainable development to mean economic growth. And they have put out a consultation on planning that will cover all of planning in the UK, which says that if anybody wants to develop anything, the presumption is to say yes. You might not at all be surprised to know that quite a lot of organisations, including Friends of the Earth and, bless their hearts, the National Trust, have launched a massive campaign to try to stop these government plans to just say yes to development. And of course, that's critically important for protecting our natural resources, not least prime agricultural land, which could get just built on if these plans go ahead, and precious green spaces in our towns and cities might just get built on if these plans go ahead. So, the consultation tragically closed yesterday, so I can't make you all now right. However, that will not be the end of the story. Keep an eye out on Friends of the Earth sites, National Trust sites, Campaign for Protecting Rural England to protect precious food growing land. Because if we don't have land to grow food on, both here and in the rest of the world, we have nothing. So that's the first thing. The second thing, because Sustain is based in London, it's primarily a city-based organisation, although our networks are much more diverse. One of our projects is growing food in cities, and specifically in this city, London. And our campaign aim is to have 2012 new food-growing spaces by 2012. See what we did there? Linking it to the Olympics, bless its cotton socks. And we've already got 1,300, which is fantastic, working with our friends at Garden Organic and several others who are expert in this. And it's not just, when you think of growing in cities, you think about allotments, and then very often you think about men with beards. Nothing against men with beards, obviously, but it's not just about allotments. It's about derelict land, it's about front gardens, back gardens, land along the side of canals and waterways, roundabouts, parks, buildings. There's one fantastic project. It's a Budgeons, and I can't remember which bit of London it's in now.
And it's Crouch End.
Thank you very much, Crouch End Budgeons. And on the roof of the Budgeons, it's got a garden. How top is that? So it's not just land, it's any available space for growing food. And also that helps promote biodiversity, another vital natural resource alongside land. And finally, diets. No, I'm not going to repeat the government policy, which is now eat less, move more. Who knew about obesity? But what I am saying is what we eat is absolutely pivotal to protecting our natural resources. And if we in rich countries don't get that right, then frankly, we've got no business telling other countries in the world that they need to change their diets. Specifically, as we will all know, it's very important to eat fewer meat and meat products and better quality. In rich countries, we eat far too much cheap, nasty meat. Cheap and nasty in the widest sense of the word. We have no business telling other countries in the world not to eat lots of meat when we're eating it. So if we shift our diet to eat more plants, basically fruit, vegetables, starchy staples, cereals, whole grains, blah, 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 then we will protect land. We will promote biodiversity. We will protect water, which is a vital natural resource. We will reduce greenhouse gases. We'll improve people's health. We'll improve animal welfare. It's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win, except if you're in an industry making cheap and nasty meat. So that's what we're trying, a snapshot of what we're trying to do, trying to protect land, trying to encourage biodiversity, trying to encourage people to change what they eat so that it protects natural resources.
Thank you very much, Anna. Now, our next speaker, who wanted to talk about agrarian reform and more to say about reclaiming the fields here in the UK. Unfortunately, she is not here, hasn't arrived yet. So we are going to open the discussion, and I want to leave some thoughts, important thoughts, model of production failing, neoliberal model failing. We need to produce more food, but not to produce more food in the way that we are producing food. We need to keep producing food as small farmers do it. And we need to grow food in the cities, as Janet was saying. And we need to think about the policies. So the floor is open to you. I'm going to receive questions, three questions. It's not questions or it's not for the panels, it's for discussion for everyone. The idea of this session is everyone has something to say, very important to say, and something to contribute to the building of the UK food movement. So, over to you, who want to start? Don't be shy. Okay, but the lady at the back and then, yes?
That's right. My question would be about how we convince the farming community of the needs to change. Because personally, I know farmers in Cornwall where I live, and they're actually dropping the organic system because it's just not making them money. So I think, you know, looking at that aspect is a really important thing to consider for food sovereignty in the UK.
Someone wants to add to that question, comment, say something? Okay, you got the lady and then the gentleman at the back.
Just from on that point, I think it's very important that the small organic farmers form cooperatives for marketing their produce. You know, on the river for the moment, but that's actually quite successful and very committed. I mean, whether the social relations involved
in production, I don't know. But, I think if organic farmers could organise themselves in larger groups, they could actually be very successful. Mm-hmm.
Gentleman
on
the back.
It's very interesting, this lady mentions this, because reclaimed fields are drawing up information packs and posting them online. And basically we're going to go to young farmers meetings and start actually creating a dialogue with the farming community to share skills with them, because they're the people who are looking after the land now. If we propose to change things, then we have to get to grips with the responsibility of looking after the land. We're doing that, right? Okay, so check out for Reclaim the Fields website.
I just say also, the Soil Association has a scheme, community supported agricultural scheme, that's been very successful in helping farmers be able to earn a living wage and link up, as you said, with other farmers from cooperatives and to be able to produce organically, financially, be financially successful.
Well, I'm an organic farmer, and it's very difficult to make a living. And I found through my lifetime that I've had to do away with my milking herd, do away with growing 50 acres of potatoes. I used to employ 35 casual people, 2 full-time people, and now it's only my wife and myself, and we depend on tourism. But what we have done in the last 18 months is start a CSA on our farm. And it's one of the best things we've ever done in the last 20 years, because it brings the community onto the farmyard, and you're instigating a community spirit on the farm. And I do think it's the way forward. It's a pity we couldn't initiate this idea into a government policy, because farmers are very, independent people, and they are trying to survive against all odds, and they think it's their role in life to survive whatever happens. But if there was a policy like to offer farmers so much an acre to release land to the community, you would start an agreement, a bond between the community and the farmers.
Someone wants to answer that question, or do we have another question, another comment?
Yes. You can stand so everybody can see you. Yeah, I'm an organic farmer as well, but I was just sort of maybe responding to your comment about the fact that it's really hard for farmers to make a living doing organic production. And there's a couple of things I think would really, really help. One, when you sort of mentioned a little bit about reforming common agricultural policy, a little bit towards agroecology, I didn't quite understand it. If I could get more comments from you a little bit about what you would say a better way to reform that was. Because at the moment, if you've got a smaller acreage and you're trying to farm it organically, you're getting a very small amount of payment, because that payment for common agricultural policy is based on the amount of land that you own, not necessarily what you do with it. And large industrial farms in this country get a huge amount of money for owning that land by acreage, and it's completely disproportionate to what you're doing on that land and how you're farming that land. And I mean, it's a huge portion of the budget of the EU that goes to the common agricultural policy. I think it's a third of the budget. Now, if that budget was somehow reworked so it could help support like more sustainable farming methods in a different way, so it wasn't just looking. Now you get these common agricultural payments for doing the bare minimum on the land. You have to top the fields once every 5 years and leave like a bit of a margin around the edge of the field. It's not very much at all. But if it could be reformed somehow so it supported good production somehow and helped level the playing field a bit for the huge costs that you bear when you're an organic farmer. Plus the fact that, you know, soil association fees shouldn't be something that's borne by the people who are doing the good things. You know, the people who are doing the stuff they shouldn't be doing should be paying something for spraying the stuff that they shouldn't be spraying or doing the kind of farming they shouldn't be doing that subsidizes the people who are doing the good stuff. And I don't understand why we're paying £800 a year for our 43-acre farm to be doing what we should be doing. And that's a really huge, you know, proportion of our overall turnover. So I think those are two basic policy things which need to be tackled a little bit in relation to this.
Leslie, I want to say something about the CAP reform, and if someone is going to add on that, really welcome, please.
Yes, we should all take up those issues. This is where the politics comes in, and this is where we can have an influence in the potentially of the political system. When the common agricultural policy began, its basic aim was to maximize productivity, which meant encouraging farmers to use external inputs, destructive the environment, and so on. And eventually, the reform meant the subsidy change from unit of production to unit of land, which is not as bad as before, but it still basically subsidizes farmers to pollute. Generally the larger farmers. They just shifted their production more intensively to the most fertile land. And they got still paid for cultivating that land, plus paid for the set-aside land, for not cultivating. It's still a racket that basically means the polluter gets paid. Meanwhile, those who use less intensive methods get paid just a small amount for the small amount of land. Perhaps the greatest potential for improvement, and given the political realities for the foreseeable future, given the strong political influence of the agro-industrial lobby, the greatest scope for improvement lies in what's called the second pillar, the Rural Development Programme, which supposedly isn't about productivity. It's about rural development. And that fund has already promoted, to some extent, in some countries, agroecological methods and food relocalization, which means, for example, infrastructure for farmers' markets, infrastructure for farmers to produce their own energy, thereby saving environmental resources in the centralized energy system and saving those farmers money so that they can still get by economically even if their food production has lower productivity. Also for integrated farming, you know, reconnecting arable agriculture with animal husbandry as it used to be some time ago, or perhaps in now more and more creative ways linked to food relocalization, regional branding. All of this has been funded to some extent through the second pillar, but very little in this country as compared to in some other European countries. So this is what we should be promoting. And it can be done by the UK government within the framework that was already set by the CAP in the EU system.
Okay, then we're going to give the word to Sarah.
Situations in different countries and regions may be different. I'm going to talk a little bit about experiences in Sri Lanka in ecological agriculture or agroecology. We are very small farmers. When I say small, they are really small. Many of them have half an acre, 1/4 of a hectare. Some have even less. So we have a very large number of such farmers who are doing agriculture. Now what is happening in Sri Lanka is these farmers have begun to shift over away from external input dependence to counting on nature's free gifts. The principles are to protect your soil, improve regeneration of soil by not killing the life in the soil using weedicides and other chemicals. Not even chemical fertilizer. Chemical fertilizer depletes life, natural life in the soil. So therefore, soil protection is the basic principle. The other thing is you maximize the use of sunlight by having a maximum number of trees growing into different canopies so that you capture and absorb the maximum of sunlight that you can get. And there's plenty of sunlight given completely free of charge. So may people make use of that. Then this generates more trees and more branches and more leaves, absorption of more sunlight. They produce food, fruits, vegetables and leaves for the plants, for the animals and for human beings. Then it recycles, complete recycling. Insects in plenty will control destructive insects. And you allow that by not using any chemical pesticides. You allow natural friendly insects to control unfriendly insects. This has been done. And complete recycling of all organic matter is essential. Now the advantages that we have is in Sri Lanka, I think it's very much the same in the whole of South Asia and also in other tropical countries. I do not know how it works in European countries and other countries with different climatic conditions. It might work, but all these principles are applied together, simultaneously, parallelly, so that they help each other. Therefore, what we do in agriculture is regeneration and recovery, restoration of nature's ability to regenerate itself. Nature has a natural ability to regenerate itself. what the conventional agriculture that's practiced all over the world destroys that ability of nature to regenerate. Now it's very necessary and essential for survival of all of us to allow, recover and restore the ability of nature to regenerate. We call it healing the earth. If we heal the earth, stop killing and destroying your earth, the earth will look after life, no, plants, animals and human beings. All this will have to be protected and enhanced. And this is not, I won't say it's been done by all farmers or a majority of farmers, but this is becoming a trend in Sri Lanka, and increasing numbers of farmer organizations, NGOs and so on have begun to pick it up. So therefore, it's very necessary, as suggested, that we spend much more resources, time and energy to do research on how nature's way of operating can be restored and recovered. This is some experience that we have. Thank you.
My name is Natasha, I'm from Concern Worldwide, which is an international development NGO. We work in 25 different countries. One of our biggest areas of programming, we call it FIM, which is Food Income and Markets, and we do agriculture everywhere we work. It's one of the biggest things. We're really, really focused on tackling hunger. Just want to say thanks, first of all, to War on Want for organising this brilliant event, and to all of the panel of speakers, particularly Louise coming from Mozambique. It's really good to hear about what you're doing. I'm the Campaigns and Parliamentary Officer for Concern, so we run a campaign which is called Unheard Voices, which is all about smallholder agriculture. Now, this is in the Global South rather than in the UK, food sovereignty, but we think it's really important because the UK aid budget to agriculture has been reducing, and it's been mostly focusing on, when we do give aid to agriculture, it's focusing on bigger agribusiness, whereas Concern is really focusing on the kind of the poorest farmers who are the most vulnerable and need the most help. So our campaign is on Home Voices. I have some policy briefings if anybody is interested in them. We're running a campaign action to try to get UK government to commit more money in aid to agriculture to help exactly the people that we're talking about today. So if anybody would like to take that action, it would be great. We have a microsite on our website, and if anybody is interested, please speak to me about it.